Good evening. Thank you for hanging in with me for the evening. A Deadly Haunting is the name of the book and the story we've been talking about for the last 3 hours with our guest Joy Albrecht, the author, and with Debbie Moffitt, the experiencer. You mentioned the passing of your husband. Did you say that was in 2012?
Yes, it was.
And do you feel that that had anything to do with the experiences, or was it just his time?
It was just his time.
And we'll leave people to find out in the book what the final outcome is with your mother-in-law, because I think that's an important part of the story as well. And we'll open up phone lines now so that if you do have questions, and I've gotten some really interesting emails, some have forwarded over to you already, Joey. One that comes from Leo in Columbus, Ohio, who actually has a tattoo of the image on his arm of the triangle with the tail. Huh. And according to his definition, it says the symbol means changing lead into gold. So that is, and I'll send that over to Coast as well. We'll see if we can get that up on the website to show you the image and perhaps even the image. It's on the cover of your book, which you can find out by going over to adeadlyhaunting.com. Let's take a quick call. We've got West of the Rockies, Michael in Los Angeles. You're a lay exorcist, Michael, is that right?
Correct.
And what did you want to share with us this evening?
Well, she mentioned that they were tearing the arms off the statues on the left arm. Was that correct?
Correct.
Okay, that is definitely a satanic symbol showing they're exercising authority, not exorcising, but exercising authority over that saint, and therefore insulting God by doing that.
Why the left arm instead of the right arm?
Pardon me?
Why the left arm instead of the right arm?
The left arm is always, if coming from the left, attacks are generally from the left when the demons do it.
I see.
Is that because
it's very prevalent that they would attack the left side?
Is that because at the right hand of God, or at the right hand would be Jesus Christ?
Correct.
So the left hand is considered open?
Correct. And this satanic instrument that the demon gave you?
Yes.
The reason that they're looking for blood is there's abortion in this. In other words, if you were to examine the people that you showed it to,
mm-hmm.
the people that most likely, in other words, had an abortion, were involved in some kind of abortion, assenting to it, financing it, or having it, promoting it, something like that,
mm-hmm.
they are the ones that would go for the blood, to cut, you know, to give blood.
Well, that's an interesting take. Michael from Los Angeles, we appreciate you. Yeah, we appreciate you calling in with that. We have to go to break. We'll come back. We've got Paul in Minneapolis, Mohammed in Florida, John in St. Louis, and Kay from Ohio next on Coast to Coast AM. We're taking calls right now on Coast to Coast AM. Our guests for the evening have shared their story, A Deadly Haunting. We've been talking with author Joey Albrecht. And Joey, we've talked a lot about the imagery on the cover of your book and the logo that Mr. Entity used. And I know you wanted to give a thanks as well to the artist who did the cover of the book. Why don't you go ahead and mention that?
Well, the artist that did the cover is actually Debbie's daughter. So she's worked very tirelessly on this project. She's done the website and did the cover art. So we really, really wanted to say thank you, and we appreciate all of her work.
Fantastic. We've had people write in, one person saying, you know, it's ridiculous after all you've gone through to destroy the evidence. Well, the fact is, you destroyed most of it, but both you and your husband did keep some of the evidence off to the side, and you still do have that. That's what's represented in the book and on the website. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Let's go back to some more calls. Paul, here in the beautiful sunny state of Minneapolis, thanks for staying up late with us on Wildcard Line 2. What did you want to talk about?
Oh, hello. Thank you for having me.
Certainly.
I was just, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming through fine.
Great. I was just wanting to put forth an idea that entities may feed off of fear and or sexual energy, and I wondered how you guys both felt about that, and I'll take my question off there.
Well, I definitely think that they feed on fear, and I think that the way to combat that is with pure love, which, you know, if you think about God, it is pure love. So.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul, from Minneapolis. Let's go to Wild Card Line 3, Mohammed in Florida. Welcome to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us this evening?
Hello. I was wondering that what would have happened if the entity or perhaps someone would have gotten the blood sacrifice, the energy from it.
Do you have any insight on that? Was there any research done or explained to you from the museums at all about what happens once you do give the blood sacrifice?
No, I didn't even ask. I didn't go into that because I didn't want to give them too much information. I just wanted it identified.
So the blood god wanted blood.
Yes.
Blood, right. Blood god.
And Mohammed, a lot of the times, from my understanding of the bloodletting ceremonies, is there's power in the blood and transference of energy from one to another. And by giving that sacrifice, you're empowering the demon that you're sacrificing it to. It can A, absorb the soul, is one belief. B, it absorbs the energy of that human being and may allow that human being to become a vessel for the demon as well. So I think that that's a lot of what goes on with these bloodletting ceremonies and why they're trying to get you to cooperate and have that communication, and why some people, you'll see, they'll make the blood oaths in the name of Satan or in the name of whatever entity they're working for, is they're doing that pact, that covenant with whatever entity they're working with.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that he didn't just want blood. He wanted her to die. He wanted her life to be sacrificed and threatened her soul.
All right, Mohammed, we appreciate the call in. East of the Rockies, John in St. Louis, what would you like to add to the show this evening?
Good morning, Dave, and your guest.
Thank you.
Happy Easter, by the way.
You too, sir.
Yes, I love your show. I didn't listen to the entire show, but I have three real quick questions. One is, did they have any pets in the house? Were they affected by this?
That's a great question. Let's let them answer that first. Okay. Did you have pets in the house? Were they affected by the energy going on there?
Yes, I some of the things that happened I really don't want to talk about with the pets.
Okay.
It was just too traumatic.
They had multiple pets, and the pets were harmed. So that's something that's too difficult for Debbie to remember.
The second question would be, did they have one of the writing on the mirror or anything? Did she ever, conversation, I don't know how long this went on, but did they ever read any scripture out of the Bible to it? Or did you ever ask it, do you realize that you're going to the bottomless pit or anything like that, or quote something from Jesus? And the last question would be, do you feel concerned at all that by profiting from this, is that a good thing? Because it's an evil thing, and if you're profiting from it, it just raises a couple questions in my mind.
I don't feel profiting from it is wrong, because I didn't actually start out doing it for that reason. I just want people to be aware that this thing can happen.
And what about the reading of Scripture?
Reading the Bible, and Mr. Entity informed us that the Bible was God's fairy tale.
And that was it. It just felt that religion had no effect on this being.
It just poo-pooed it. It's just a fairy tale, said.
And a lot of people may not understand this as well. How could something not be affected by the Christianity God or Jesus and evoking the name? There are belief systems in play, especially when it comes to things like the jinn. And I know there's a popular movie out right now about this character. These entities believed to predate man and predate God. They were here before any of the religion took place. The jinn is mentioned throughout the Bible, and these creatures and characters, according to legend and lore, don't bow to the will of any religion, and they will not be shit. They'll do what they want, how they want, and how they please. So a lot of times when enacting and dealing with this type of entity, the jinn may in fact be more of what you're dealing with and why it is not impacted or affected by the calling out of or the evoking of the name of Jesus Christ or God. Did you do any research in on that? Was there any reference to the jinn in any of the work that you looked at, either one of you?
No, I haven't.
No.
And if you do have email questions as well, you can shoot them over to dave@darknessradio.com. dave@darknessradio.com. First time caller line, Kay from Ohio. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Yeah, I can't understand why they entertained him on a mirror net. He would have been stripped of his power, completely, utterly helpless against with the blood of Jesus Christ. He was defeated at Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd say we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Her mother-in-law should have said, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have no power over me. I rebuke you. I bind you up. And in the name of Jesus, I bind you up, and you have no power. My God says, what I bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And I would have kept seeing it over and over and over till that thing was so damn helpless, it would have been flying out of the house.
Well, I think, Kay, part of the problem is when you have the clergy come in, and here you've got a religious woman who knows the Bible and is religious, and she's putting out the prayer and doing these things, and I'm sure they probably exhausted most options like that. And then you have a priest come into the house who is ineffective, and it is mocking religion. I don't know that this was going to be affected by what we would normally do in Christianity and the calling, especially, if there are these different religions and belief systems out there that, if this does not fall under that category, can it truly be affected? And I think that's what they found out. Thank you for weighing in on that, Kay. And I'm sure, you guys tried prayer. You tried many different variations of ridding yourself of this. It wasn't just sitting at home cowering. You were trying to get help.
We never stopped praying. Never. We prayed all the time.
And would it get more agitated when you would do things like that, or did it just not care?
It didn't care. One time someone came and wrote on the mirror. They were a worker, a light worker, and they wrote on the mirror, on the bottom of the mirror, they put in on soap just like he wrote, and they wrote, God protects us. And the entity, they left, it went back, the entity, when he went back, the entity had crossed out God and put in Prince protects us.
And that's because it referred to itself as Prince or Prince Ball.
Right.
And that was the name. Now, let me mention, and we'll go to Jeff in Culver City next, but you said that there was also, you believe later on in the story, that there were beings of energy and light that were trying to help you and protect you. Can you tell us a little bit about when their intervention, how they were letting themselves be known?
They would also write, but they would write in a different place. And they wrote almost in like almost poems. Their writing was completely different. And they would always give advice to my mother-in-law what she should be doing. And they would always end at the Trinity with a cross.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that, Joey?
And warnings, advice and warnings to the family.
So these two things seem to coexist in the same home. And would the advice that the angelic or the light beings were giving you, did it seem to work, at least in small increments?
Unfortunately, you have to understand what was going on. My mother-in-law didn't take the advice.
Oh, she did not?
No.
So here were beings trying to help her, and why wasn't she taking the advice, do you believe?
There was a reason why.
Yeah, we can't go into it without giving away too much. But
no, they tried to help her. They were telling her, and she just wouldn't listen.
She had a lesson to learn, is what you believe.
Yes.
That is why she had to deal with this, is because that was part of this life lesson in this lifetime.
That's what I believe.
Is where it was coming from. Wild card line 4, Jeff in Culver City, California. Welcome to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us this evening?
Yeah, hi, Dave, and to your guests. Yes, it's very interesting you guys are talking of triangular symbols. That particular symbol is in some way, shape, form, or fashion represented in all of our corporations' logos, whether it be a twisted triangle, a triangle with beams of light going through it, triangles with halos, half triangles, and so forth. I use it also just as a simple logo for my work. But when you talk about the Catholic Church and its terrible and sordid history, do you really believe that that institution really has any legitimate relevancy now? Because it seems that every time I turn on the boob tube, I'm seeing Pope Francis trying to keep the game alive. And I just don't see it working anymore. I mean, I just want to get you guys viewpoints on that.
Well, say that again for me now, Jeff. You believe that what's not working anymore? And he's gone. Here's the deal. I don't think Pope Francis is doing anything to try to keep things alive, in my understanding. And I'm not Catholic, but I actually think he's probably one of the best PR people in religion in a long time, because he's making religion acceptable to a greater breadth of people, if you will. There are more people that are listening to him and feeling, I think, comforted by some of his words and his actions. And I don't think he's just doing stuff to keep the ball alive. I think that the church is making necessary steps to remain relevant in the 21st century and looking at some of the archaic way things were done in the past. And that's not slighting religion or, you know, Christianity in any way. But, you know, the Bible itself changes from the New Testament to the Old Testament. There's a shift in a totally different dichotomy between the way things were handled and held. And so there is going to be changes throughout history, depending, I believe, on where we are at those points in our history. Interesting email here. Hi, I'm Andy from Texas. I have had an entity who talks to me and is called Emily. Black hair and a child. She has a logo that's a triangle, red and black. The triangle I was told to lay all over. Make triangles. If I ignore her, she gets upset. I want to stop talking to her. Also, I am Catholic. No one knows about my encounter. What's the best thing to do? Debbie, you've been through this. You've survived this.
I would seek out help. I wouldn't keep it to myself. I would go and find people to talk to about this and seek help.
Should people like this seek help from mediums or psychics, do you believe, or just stick with the clergy? Or because where do you go when the clergy turns its back on you or doesn't know how to answer these questions?
We actually started with learned people. We started with the university, trying to get someone who studied this, who could explain it to us. We tried religion. We tried people that knew what was supposed to know what was going on with these kinds of things. We even tried people that practiced magic that could try to come and get rid of it. So you try every avenue that's there.
Would it ever get more powerful after one version?
No, some over another? Make fun of people. It would especially like to make fun of people. And some people, believe it or not, the Warrens, when they came, the entity never said one word about the Warrens. It never spoke about the Warrens. The only thing it did, they gave us religious symbols to put in all the corners of the house, and he picked those all up and threw them in the pool. But he never said anything negative about the Warrens on the mirror.
Ed and Lorraine Warren, of course, who were featured in the movie that was just released last year, The Conjuring, and who have been two of the biggest proponents and lay demonologists and exorcists in the United States, have worked with many different religions in helping to rid people of their afflictions with the dark forces, or at least that is their claims. We are talking this evening with author Joey Albrecht and real-life supernatural encounter survivor. And this is a chilling story Debbie Moffitt has been sharing with us this evening. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll continue with your calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Please go check out the website. You'll see some of the photographic evidence, some of the pieces that they were able to keep and save, so that you can see that for yourself at adeadlyhaunting.com. Stay tuned. There's more Coast to Coast to come right after this. This evening, we've been discussing A Deadly Haunting. That's the name of the book. That's the name of the actual activity that took place. Terrifying story. Our guests this evening, author Joey Albrecht and real-life supernatural survivor, sharing her story with us this evening, Debbie Moffitt. Debbie, one question came in from one of the listeners here in an email form wondering, why did you keep the spear? Why not donate the spear to a museum and get it out of your personal collection?
I felt that it was like I protected it. Like if it was with me, it was safe.
And that's it, just no giving it away to the museum or so? No. Were you afraid it would fall into somebody else's hands and they might do something with it?
It's mine. Mr. Entity's not going to touch it. No one's going to touch it.
All right. We've got callers lining up right now. Let's go to the wild card line two. Stefan in Ontario, Canada. Welcome to Coast AM. And what's your question for us this evening?
Hi, Dave. Actually, it's not really a question. It's more of like a story. I'm currently dealing with my own entity, so to speak. Like, I've been seeing this girl for just over a year now, and it turns out that she's quite clairvoyant, and she can talk to the dead and everything. And I found this out because both my parents are actually deceased, and she told me that she's able to talk to them, and she's actually told me things that I've never told anybody or talked to anybody about. And so, like, I was a total skeptic. I'm one of the kind of people that if I don't see it or whatever, I don't believe it. But I've totally done a 180 on this stuff and changed around. And I totally can understand what you've gone through. Fortunately, what we've been dealing with is not as serious as the story I've been listening to tonight. But it's still pretty unsettling, to be honest. Excuse me. Basically, the entity we deal with, he calls himself Guardian, and he's basically been surrounded by my girlfriend's family. Like, originally it originated with her father, because when he was younger there was a lot of trauma or something, and I guess that's when it started hanging around, because he feeds off negative energy. And since I've been in the picture, he's been kind of dealing with my girlfriend, and we had medium come in. I can't remember his name. He resides in Oshawa. He used to be in Carolina, and he was on Coast to Coast before, but he came in and he talked to us about it, and he told us to use runes to protect us and to protect our home. So that's what we ended up doing. We used some runes on our home. I believe it was the O rune. I think it's called Othala, which basically means residence. And then there's the Y rune, which I can't remember the name of it, but it symbolizes the elk, and that's actually the rune for protection. And the night my girlfriend actually was writing them down on the on our porch or whatever, under our front doormat, Guardian was like, went enraged, and he actually like attacked my girlfriend and scratched her really good, like on the back of the leg when she was doing it. And it's just, it just blows my mind, this kind of stuff. And since then, it's been pretty quiet. But lately, we've just been kind of like, there's been a lot of stress and negativity in our lives. And that kind of invited him back into the home, because she actually was able to take a picture of him earlier this week. And I was able to see sort of, it's just like a picture of his head, and to see what it looks like. And it's pretty pretty unsettling, to be honest.
Well, you know, and if you've got things like that, we'd love to see that. I might be able to help point you in the direction of somebody that can help get you help and alleviate the situation. You can email that to dave@darknessradio.com and share your story, and I will try to get somebody that can clue you in and perhaps give some relief for both you and your girlfriend on that, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate you calling and sharing your encounter with us this evening. We'll take our final break of the night. When we come back, Michael in Virginia Beach, Jonathan in Bakersfield, California, and Mike in Mississippi are on deck on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. I'll be back next Friday, the 25th, hosting again. I want to thank all of the people that have sent in such great and very strong and supportive emails to me throughout the show. I really appreciate hearing from you, and it does not go unnoticed. So thank you very much. I also want to thank our guests for this evening sharing their insights and stories with us, author Joey Albrecht and also the real-life survivor Debbie Moffitt for being here and opening up to share these stories with us. Debbie, a quick follow-up question. One of the listeners wanted to know, what has transpired since Debbie opened up with this information about the woman who was murdered and reportedly murdered and found in a rug in the landfill? Have you ever, because there is no statute of limitations on murder, have you ever looked into that to see if he did do time and if there was any resolve to that story?
No, I haven't, because up until the point where my husband passed away, we never discussed it. It was like it never happened.
Is that something that you're interested in trying to look into at this point to see if there is any corroborating evidence that this wasn't just some strange guy throwing you, a curveball?
Yeah, I think it would be very interesting to find out.
All right. And let's go. We've got on East of the Rockies line, Michael from Virginia Beach, Virginia with us. Michael, welcome to the show. And what did you want to share with us this evening?
Thank you, David. Thank you, Debbie and Joey. Remember, David, a program you did a few weeks ago where you had a medium who practiced trying to get rid of spirits in haunted houses. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed with the kind of questions you asked the medium who ended up being oppressed in his own home by these demons after trying to help other people get rid of them in their home.
Right.
And yes, so I'm going to be looking forward to your coming back on this program on the 25th, and I'll be checking in with you there in reference to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I haven't read your book, ladies, but I know where the authority of that demon came from to do what he did in your home. It's very clear in the scriptures that you shall not have graven images. Your mother-in-law kept them. You shall not have a sacred pillar. You shall not have any carved image. In Luke 9, when Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, notice what I'm going to underscore here, over all the power of demons, all demons. And then in Luke 10, when he commissioned 70 other of his disciples, they came back saying, wow, we have authority over the demons. So we know clearly that the Catholic Church, which promotes the practice of worshiping images, keeping images, putting great emphasis on the importance of having them around, are not going to have a power and authority over these demons. That's why that priest could do you no good. That's why almost all of them will do you no good, because most of them go along with the papacy and its image-promoting programs. So that's the big problem right there. Now, in terms of what we do here on Coast to Coast, we should be trying to educate people so that they don't come under the power of the Guatemalan maid who brings her evil religion, Santeria, into our country, into our home. We've got to stop these people from practicing these demon religions. That's how we're going to get our country back on a balanced budget. That's how we're going to stop these hurricanes. It's the power of the prince of the power of the air is who blows out the windows in your house and who did while those images were in your houses. The prince of the power of the air, that's what he does. These hurricanes are connected with that. They are coming to our country now in greater numbers because Roman Catholics from these demon-worshipping Central American countries are coming in greater number to our country.
Michael, you definitely have some insight on that. But again, the problem I run into is how do we go about stopping people from living their lives and dealing with their religion? So that's what our country is based on, is giving us the freedom to believe and do with what we do here. And not all of these religions are evil. The belief systems and the work that they do are holistic in a lot of sense. So I appreciate you calling in and sharing your insights on that as well. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Jonathan in Bakersfield, California, welcome to the show. What did you want to share?
How y'all doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Blessed. I'm repented, Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled, preacher, apostolic Pentecostal, as according to Acts 2:38 of the Bible. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Mother Moffat, are you listening?
Yes.
I want to tell you something. You are God's daughter. I want to speak to you in the loving tones of Christ. Don't you be afraid. His perfect love casteth out all fear. He loves you, and you and your family are the apples of his eyes. You be strong in the Lord. And when you get a chance, you get virgin oil, and in the name of Jesus, you put it on every forehead in the house of your family, every doorpost, every window, and every mirror, because it's bars on their cage. They cannot get through that oil, just like Pharaoh couldn't get through the Red Sea. There's no way. You plead God's blood and spirit as you apply it in Jesus' name, and see thou do it not. When it comes to praying before statues, like it says in Revelations, he said, see thou do it not to John on Patmos when he bowed down before all that wonderful material of Revelations. Worship God. And Trinity comes from Tertullian in the Catholic Encyclopedia. He came up with that. Jesus by himself, you know, the Father came down as the Son returns, the Holy Ghost. One person, one God, one name, Jesus Christ. Like Dave, you're a dad, a brother, and a son, but your name is David. One person. We love you very much. Please be strong in the Lord. And remember, you can do all things through Christ Jesus, the strength of your brother Dave. You hear this?
I hear you. Thank you, Jonathan.
I witnessed to President Obama. I met him a couple years ago here in Bakersfield. Told him to get repentant, Jesus' name, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, too. He nodded. He was a gentleman. He agreed. So let's just keep all that in prayer, because we can do all things through Christ Jesus, strengthening us. We love you very much. Keep rocking and rolling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jonathan, thank you for calling and weighing in. I appreciate that. Mike in Mississippi on the first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us?
Yeah, that's not even my real name. I just had to make up a name because, you know, what happened, you know, my wife, you know, and everything. Well, she, you know, when I was at work during the day, you know, she would say that the demon, like she was demon possessed. I know the saying about demon possession or whatever. But I mean, when I come home, you know, she's showing me all these markings, you know, on her arm and everything. And then she would like, she started getting real violent. You know, when my family was over there, what she started doing was she took a kitchen knife and started cutting her face, you know. And so what she did, you know, my parents, you know, they called 911, and it turns out, you know, she was put away, you know, in a state hospital, whatever. And I just want to know why did this demon, you know, do that to her? And because, you know, like we come from fairly rich families and whatever, and she, I don't think she was making it up, but, you know, her IQ is off the charts, but still, you know, she was part of Mensa and everything with the Princeton.
But, well, it's hard to say, Mike, on something like that. How do you answer why a demon picked that person? First of all, we don't know if there was a case in mental illness that might run through her family. Mental illness doesn't care if you're rich, poor, white, black, fat, skinny, Christian, Jew. It doesn't care. And if that was what was going on and she was giving herself the affliction, believing that she was possessed or oppressed, could have been a lot of that as well. And without having the understanding of what her psychological makeup was, it's almost impossible to give an answer. And again, if she was of sound mind and body, there may have been some covenant that was struck in a past life, much like our guest this evening, as she's talking about the fact that her mother-in-law, is that correct now, Debbie, your mother-in-law had this connection from a past life. This right. was carried forward in this karmic justice, and she was pledged. That's why it continued on. Is that a safe assessment? I mean, that's exactly what occurred in
yes.
your understanding.
Yes.
Do you believe that it ended in this lifetime for your mother-in-law, or do you believe that she will be bound to this beast lifetime yes. after lifetime?
I hope that it ended in this lifetime.
Was there any indication ever given by Mr. Entity or about this that it would continue on, or was it just once he got her, once her death was complete, the task was over?
He never said this is over.
Was that because he wanted a specific way for her to die? Did it have to be a murder way as opposed to just old age? Do you have any understanding to that? Or maybe Joey, maybe that's something you could weigh in on without giving, again, the ending of the book away. Was there a specific way that this was supposed to go down?
Well, yeah, he wanted her sacrificed in the manner that, or similar to the manner that she was supposed to be sacrificed before. But, you know, he didn't just want her to die. He wanted to take her soul. And learning the life lesson that Lee needed to learn, I think, is part of the key. and I don't want to go into any more than that.
Nope, understandable. You mentioned briefly, and I'll throw the question to you again on this one, Joey, one of the emailers has sent in, and you didn't talk specifically tonight because she's uncomfortable talking about the animals. Does it mention in the book what happened to the pets?
Yes, it does.
So you did cover that once, and it was a once-and-done deal out of respect for Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, so that is in the book. And I know there's so much more in here, folks. I've read the book. It's a fascinating read. It is creepy. It's also relieving because you do know that there is help and that if you keep positive and you have a positive image and as is positive, from our guest Joey and from Debbie, that they remain in the light and their lives have not been interfered with sharing this story. And it's only, in your guys' opinion, it's in the fear that allows these things to have power over you.
Not just the fear, but the someone giving it permission. Very negative emotions and people, are the kind of things that they feed on, in my opinion. And the more love that you have in your heart, the more close you are to God and the more protected that you are, the more you can share that love with the world.
Debbie, for somebody who lived this, what do you say to the people that are naysayers or don't believe that this actually took place?
It's very hard because no matter what I say or no matter what evidence I show them, if they don't believe, they're not going to believe. And it's too bad because knowledge is power.
Do you do anything now in your life to continue to protect yourself so that nothing is drawn to you?
I pray. I am a very positive person.
And you believe that that's
nothing else.
And you believe that that's enough to keep you safe and keep you where you need to be?
Yes.
Debbie, it's a fascinating story. I'm sorry for the pain, the suffering, and the losses that you've had in your life and sharing this story with us tonight as well. I know it can't be easy to continually relive this encounter, but I thank you for coming forward and trying to educate and enlighten listeners that also might be going through this. Joey, if people have questions, can they reach out to you through the website, adeadlyhaunting.com?
They could write me there. I can be contacted through my Facebook page. I can be contacted through my LinkedIn page as well.
Check it out, adeadlyhaunting.com. All the information on the site right there. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm the host of Darkness Radio. You can find me at darknessradio.com Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight central. And then stay tuned for Coast to Coast and George Norrie right afterwards. I want to thank our producers, Brian and Gina, this evening. Lisa Lyon, and of course, George Norrie, my engineer, Tim Dennis. Thank you all for tuning in and being a part of our show. And special thanks to Joey Albrecht and Debbie Moffitt with A Deadly Haunting. You've been listening to Coast to Coast AM.